After my sophomore year of college, I spent the summer here in Columbia living at St. Francis House and working with the homeless. There was a great guy also working there who was very committed to peace and justice. I remember talking with him once, and I made some comment about Jesus. And he replied, "Yeah, I think Jesus was a really good guy." And I thought, Jesus is a really good guy? Well, yeah. Good in the sense that God is good. He's a really good divine guy. I was just so taken aback, I didn't know what to say, really. I bring up that story because I think we can read today's gospel in the sense of Jesus, the good guy, is teaching us how to be nice and fair when someone is mean to us. Father Dan, first you go tell Father Bear how much he hurts your feelings. And if he laughs at you, then call Father Andrew, maybe Father Paul Clark, and try to impress upon him that you don't treat your friends this way. I'm all for respecting feelings and boundaries. And by the way, Father Bear did not hurt my feelings yet. But this program that Jesus gives us is so much more than just being nice and fair. Just as Jesus is much more than a really good guy. First to note is Jesus says, if your brother sins against you. This is church language. A brother or a sister is a fellow baptized believer. Second is that this brother or sister has sinned. And the understanding is without repenting. Of course, we brothers and sisters sin. We're sinners. But what makes us truly Christian is our willingness, eagerness even, to repent. If a fellow baptized believer won't repent after listening to you, or to two or three other baptized believers, or even to the authority of the church, then Jesus says to treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector, as someone who's no longer part of the community of believers. It's a type of excommunication. The bigger point here is that the church is a communion. We're the body of Christ. And Christ is in perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The communion within the Trinity isn't just because they laugh at the same jokes or have the same interests and hobbies. It's because they're a communion in truth and goodness and beauty and justice. And we who are baptized into that communion, we don't need to laugh at the same jokes. Many of you are probably thinking, you're not very funny, Father Dan. We don't even need to have the same interests and hobbies. But we need to be in communion with each other regarding truth and goodness and beauty and justice. Beauty in the big capital B sense of that. Truth in the big capital T sense. Goodness in the capital G sense. Justice in the capital J sense. Later in the gospel, Jesus says, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. The Greek verb for to agree is symphoneo, symphony. It doesn't mean lockstep uniformity, but it does mean perfect harmony. The players in a symphony are in harmony if they keep their music attuned to the theme. I see Andrea nodding. I'm grateful for that. And the church is the body of Christ. Christ is our theme. And we must be attuned to him. The church is the body of Christ. the most closely connected to the theme. And we can say even the church is the guardian of the theme, which is why Jesus says, if a sinner won't listen to the church, then cast them out. They're no longer part of the theme. They're no longer in symphony. Notice also that Jesus is speaking to the ones who have been sinned against. If someone has committed sin against me, then I'm responsible to try to go to them, to try to draw them back to repentance, back into that symphony, back to the communion that we were created for and redeemed for. This is what Ezekiel in our first reading is saying. He says, we're charged to speak out to dissuade the wicked from his or her way. Why? Because of who we are in this communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That communion of love that says, you're important to this symphony. If you're missing, there's an important musical part that's lacking. It's off key a little bit because you're missing. We need you. We want to draw you back into that. St. Paul speaks to this in our second reading when he writes, love does no evil to the neighbor, hence love is the fulfillment of the law. The law of love commands us to do what we can to save our neighbors from evil. And the best way to save my neighbors from evil is to bring them to Christ and his church, to healing and reconciliation, to repentance and forgiveness. And this might be a challenge for you and me too. Where might I be out of symphony with the church? Do I turn a blind eye to the church's teachings, or some of the church's teachings, to the teaching on abortion? A blind eye to the teaching on contraception, on cohabitation? How about immigration or the death penalty? How about the teaching to put Christ at the center of my life, ahead of my spouse, of my children, ahead of my family, ahead of friends, ahead of my job, my career, material comforts? Am I out of symphony in that regard? When Jesus says, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, this is something that we're able to do only as the church, only in symphony with the church. In other words, the more we strive to live and to love and to think with the church, as the church does, the more we're able to act in communion with the church and to act in the name of Jesus. Jesus is indeed teaching us a just way to treat our brothers and sisters, but he's doing so not because it's a nice thing to do. Nice is something purely external. I can be nice on the outside and boiling on the inside. Jesus calls us to so much more. First, he calls us to our own profound conversion, deep conversion to the symphony of the church. And then he charges us to lovingly but firmly call back our brothers and sisters who have themselves broken that symphony. People ask me all the time, I don't know how to do that. How do I do that? You know, a lot of times parents with regard to their children, but lots of people ask that question. And I always think the best way for me is just to have a good conversation with somebody. I'm not here to try to beat you upside the head with what I think is true, but just to, what do you believe? How does that hold true? Well, this is what I think about that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but how does that work? just having a good conversation. Calling our brother or sister back, it's not just a nice thing to do if we feel bold enough. It's at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, which is to be a part of the communion of truth and goodness and beauty and love and justice. So here's the homework for the week. Work this week on your symphony with the church. Where is there disharmony? And beg the Lord for his light. We need that aha moment or moments. Beg the Lord for his light and your conversion.